Welcome to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold. Carol Gold is an inspirational speaker, author, change agent, and former family law attorney who helps individuals and organizations by providing guidance and encouragement during periods of professional and personal change. Her fearlessness in facing challenges head-on is contagious, inspiring, and uplifting, and she understands the importance of the principles of personal responsibility and adaptability within the larger context of our connection to one another. Engaging and empowering, Carol brings the highest message to all concerned and leaves her audiences with renewed determination to be the best they can be as she explores the topics of ethics, mission, purpose, intuition, stress management, and relationships. Carol's recently released book, The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear, serves as a simple explanation and user-friendly guide to navigating the changes taking place around us. Her mission is to give people a renewed sense of empowerment and excitement about the possibilities that await them, regardless of their present situations. Carol's goal is not that you see things her way, but rather to help you find your way. To learn more, visit her website at carolgold.com. That's C-A-R-O-L-E, gold.com. To speak with Carol right now, call 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning, New Jersey. You're listening to WNJC 1360 AM. I am Carol Gold, and this is An Hour of Gold. The number here, 856-227-1360. Your calls are welcome this morning. I don't know what you have planned for the next hour, but unless it's mandatory surgery, I'd stay right where I am because this is going to be an exciting hour. My biggest concern in the next 60 minutes is that that's all I've got is 60 minutes. And I've got a lot to talk to you about because there's a lot happening around us, as you well know. And so if you want a little heads up on what we're going to be talking about here this morning, let me tell you that it's money, power, and sex. And if there's anyone out there who doesn't have an opinion on one of those three, be certain that you're breathing. Because I think everyone has some feelings about what's on in the news, and Anthony Weiner, which is on everyone's mind, is the least of it, actually, although I am going to cover an aspect of that story this morning. I want to remind you that what I do here at An Hour of Gold is a little different from what you're going to get anywhere else, because while I cover the news, and I cover breaking news, I cover local, national, global stories as well, the purpose of An Hour of Gold is for you and me to be able to find some meaning, some higher meaning in what's going on around us. So the most negative story holds the possibility for us to learn something. And because I know that you can listen and look in lots of other places to get the bad news, An Hour of Gold is an attempt, and usually a successful one, at finding a higher meaning and a higher purpose, because we all know that the world is in a very tenuous state, whether it's the economy or the politics of revolution globally, whatever it is and wherever you look, the world is in a very chaotic and tenuous state. Personally, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's an opportunity for all of us to think outside the box. And that's what I do here at An Hour of Gold. So today, as I said, I'm going to talk about money, power, and sex. And the reason I'm going to talk about those three, if you'll allow me a moment of digression, is that those three are actually linked together in the Eastern religions' philosophy. And here's what I mean. If you know what a chakra is, then you'll allow me a moment to explain to those who don't what chakras are. Chakras are seven energy centers that are located within the human body, and each one of those centers vibrate to a different frequency. And in Eastern religions, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, in the Vedic traditions, the belief is that we evolve as humans through those seven energy centers, and that we can get sort of trapped or stuck in any one of them at any given time. And if you Google chakras, you'll see under images sort of a map out of what those seven centers look like. One is at the base of your spine. The second one is sort of right above your pelvis under your navel. The third one is above your navel. The fourth one is your solar plexus. The fifth one is your heart. The sixth one is your throat. The seventh one is your what they call your third eye in the middle of your forehead. And the fourth one is called your crown chakra, and it's right above the top of your head. So why on a show that talks about global and national and local news and looking for higher purposes am I taking the time this morning to talk to you about an Eastern philosophical and spiritual chakra system within the human body? Well, the reason is that the second chakra, the one located right above the pelvis, is the chakra that relates to money, power, and sex. And as I look around the world, it seems to me that the world is trapped in the second chakra. It's stuck there because that's what we're struggling with globally. We're struggling with issues around money, right? Economies all over the world. We're struggling with issues of power, right? Revolution all over the world. Unrest, political unrest, and the misuse of power. And we're struggling with issues of sex. And we had the most recent incident within the last 24 hours, but you know, Anthony Weiner's a symptom. He's not a disease. He's just a symptom. And we've had lots of symptoms lately. We have had Anthony Weiner. We've had Dominique Strauss-Kahn. We've had John Edwards. Right, sorry, John Edwards. And we have endless examples on a national scale of the misuse of power, the inappropriate use of sex, and oftentimes the combination of the misuse of power and sex, and oftentimes they go hand in hand. So what I want to look at today is the misuse of power, the misuse of influence, the misuse of responsibility as it all relates to the second chakra. And what came to my attention in the last couple of weeks, because we're all pretty much aware of what's happening in the Middle East, and I noticed that both Vogue magazines and Vanity Fair magazine, Vogue and Vanity Fair both, in the last, I think, 90 days, have both run feature stories on the president of Syria, on Bashar Assad and his wife Asma al-Assad. And both magazines chose to run features that show what a refined, democratic, loving people. She's stunning. That seemed to be the focus for Vanity Fair and Vogue both. And nothing could be further from the truth, in the sense that this is a nation that within the past 24 hours has brutally murdered in the streets somewhere between 25 and 125 of its citizens who were peacefully protesting. The army just opened fire. That army is under the guidance and direction of a totalitarian dictator named Bashar al-Assad, who has been the leader of that country for quite some time and who is one of the largest problems for unrest and terrorism in the Middle East. He is one of the nurturers and the perpetuators of terrorism and totalitarianism. And yet, in the misuse of power and in the abdication of responsibility and in defiance of anything that could possibly be called credible journalism, both Vanity Fair and Vogue chose to highlight some glamorous, fictitious, phantasmic aspect of who this couple is. And all that does is perpetuate injustice, perpetuate a mythology, and attempt to keep you ignorant. That's what the goal is. The goal is to keep you from the truth. I can think of no other reason why a credible publication would publish such a fiction other than to perpetuate a myth and to keep you from being educated. I believe in educated consumers. When I practiced law, My goal was never to, quote, take care of my clients. And I used to tell my clients that if you interview with another attorney, if you're contemplating retaining me or someone else, and the other attorney says to you, don't worry, I'll take care of you, run for the door as quickly as you can, because you're not looking for a caretaker when you're going through divorce, which is the law I practiced. You're looking for a guide to get you through an unknown, uncharted territory that's going to be extremely difficult emotionally. And what you really want is a partner. And so I believed in educating my clients. I had a DVD for people going through divorce that I still market. That DVD was to educate the consumer. I'm not here to talk to you about that aspect of my life. I only reference it because I made the point that I believe in an educated consumer. And I believe in one, whether it's a political issue or it's a medical issue or it's a personal relationship issue. The more you know, the more educated you are, the more informed and diverse your sources of information are, the more likely you are to be independent and be able to make a reasoned, intelligent decision in your own best interest. So that's the lesson that I take away from Vanity Fair and Vogue. Now, if I move from the misuse of power around responsibility and influence, and in this instance, media, I'm just going to segue for a moment to what I see as powerful couples who perhaps also give us a message that is at best mixed and at worst misleading. So there are two couples I just want to talk about for a moment. One is Anthony Weiner and his wife in light of what happened yesterday. But before I go there, let me talk to you about Cass Sunstein and Samantha Powers. I don't know if you know who they are. You should know who they are. They're probably two of the most influential people right now surrounding our president. And politically, in general, two of the most influential people. Cass Sunstein is what is called our regulatory czar. Answers not to Congress. He's appointed. He was appointed independently by Barack Obama, and he makes all of the regulations. So the difficulties in getting drilling back in the Gulf after the BP oil spill, the difficulty in U.S. companies getting permits to drill, you can thank Cass Sunstein. Difficulties in businesses starting up because of new regulations and a lot of the healthcare restrictions that are put on companies now, you can thank Cass Sunstein. He is doing by regulation what the Congress has refused to do by legislation. And we have a constitution that ordains that we make laws and enforce laws in this country through the legislative process and the judiciary, not through independent czars appointed by presidents who come and go and appoint these people at whim based on their ideology. That's Cass Sunstein. His wife is a woman named Samantha Powers. Samantha Powers is a special assistant to Barack Obama. Her official title is that she is the head of the Office of Multilateral Affairs and Human Rights. But the thing that's most interesting about Samantha Powers is that she is the proponent and the advocate and has the ear of the president on a policy and a principle that she has developed called a responsibility to protect. That responsibility to protect, which is hers, is actually what she used to influence and convince Barack Obama that we should go with NATO and independent of NATO as well, put troops on the ground. I believe we have some in Libya, or we're about to have some in Libya. We probably have advisors, and we're certainly, from what I understand, on the verge of having boots on the ground there. It is her policy of this responsibility to protect that has been the basis for that, I would say, wrongful incursion. Now, if you believe it's a rightful incursion, if you believe that we belong in Libya, then I would ask you, why do we also not belong in other countries where atrocities much worse than what's happened in Libya, for example, Syria or Iran? Why do we not belong in those countries as well? And I would say that the answer is a selective ideology and a selective agenda of selective people who currently have the ear of the president and perhaps more than that, their hands on the controls of where this country is going at the moment. Again, second chakra, misuse of power. When I come back from break and telling you about my favorite Italian restaurant in the area, I'm going to pursue this line of money, power, and sex. Your comments welcome, 856-227-1360. Back in a moment.
Stefano's Ristorante Italiano of Mount Laurel, New Jersey, serves the finest authentic Sicilian cuisine with exciting dishes and a unique ambiance. At Stefano's, every dish is created using only the freshest, finest ingredients. Their delicious menu options and attention to detail create a truly enjoyable dining experience. For more than 20 years, chef and owner Paola Balsamo has presented her authentic family recipes to South Jersey. Stefano's features traditional Italian favorites and unique dishes wrapped in a cozy ambiance. They cater to special requests and offer a celiac specialty menu featuring gluten-free foods that are so delicious you'll never believe they're gluten-free. They also have a large variety of delicious pizza. Please feel free to bring a bottle of wine to enjoy with your meal. And if you're hosting a party, Stefano's offers on-site and off-site catering options. Their catering menu offers many options to please any taste, and their impeccable service ensures your event will be one to remember. They cater corporate functions, as well as birthdays, graduations, anniversaries, and many other special occasions. Stefano's Ristorante Italiano at 3815 Church Road in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Open at 11 a.m. Monday through Saturday, closed Sunday. Call 856-778-3663. That's 856-778-3663. And visit their website, stefanosristoranteitaliano.com. And mention an hour of gold to receive a 10% discount. You're listening to...
Hi, back here at an hour of gold, Carol Gold, WNJC, 1360 AM, talking to you this morning about sex, power, and money. And I know you've got opinions, and certainly, if nothing else, I'm going to venture shortly into the Andy Weiner story, which everyone is doing, but probably with a little different perspective, and I welcome your thoughts and your reactions to yet one more public humiliation by one more corrupt, deceitful, and deliberately misleading political figure. 856-227-1360 here at an hour of gold. Remember, the purpose of an hour of gold is to find the higher meaning. So while I may take part of the show and go through what is unfolding and the dangers inherent therein, never think that we won't end this show with what you can do about it and what the highest meaning is that we can take away from it all. So I was just talking about Samantha Powers, wife of Cass Sunstein, both of whom are have the ear of the president. Cass Sunstein, the regulatory czar, and Samantha Powers, a special assistant to the president and the originator and proponent of the policy under which we joined NATO and went into Libya. You know, it's a slippery slope when you use czars and you use you circumvent the constitutional process. It's a slippery slope, and most recently it can be seen in this particular incursion into Libya. You know, on Friday of last week, I don't know how many of you are aware, but Congress actually voted on whether or not the president, in going into Libya, violated the War Powers Act. And the vote in Congress was strongly a rebuke of the president. Both Republicans and Democrats voted in a majority that the president, in fact, has violated the War Powers Act. The War Powers Act provides that if you're going to put American troops somewhere, you've got 60 days before you have to go to Congress and get congressional approval for those troops to remain where they are. And that 60-day period ran. And Congress voted, and it determined that the president did not rightfully come to Congress within the 60-day period, and he is therefore in violation of the War Powers Act. Now, you're talking about a Congress, which is rightfully in session under the United States Constitution, telling the executive branch that it violated its constitutional obligations under that same document. Pretty serious message to be sending to our president. In addition, Dennis Kucinich, who is a Democratic congressman, put a second amendment, vote before the floor on Friday, which was not passed. But the vote itself, the count, is stunning in that the vote was 265 to 148, the measure that he proposed. And the measure was that troops immediately be pulled out of Libya and out of our troops out of NATO that are in Libya. Now, of that vote, of that 148 that did not pass the resolution, because the majority voted against, 265 to 148, but of that 148, 87 were Republicans and 61 were Democrats. That means 87 Republicans were, and that means 61 Democrats, 61 Democrats were saying to their own president, "You violated the War Powers Act. Bring those troops out of there." The other measure that passed previous to that, the one that simply said he violated the War Powers Act, did not go so far as to demand that he bring the troops out. But nonetheless, both measures together a pretty serious statement about the abuse of power by our president. So I'm making the point and I'm drawing the line and I'm making the connection between the dots between a president who has appointed a czar who is doing by decree, who is doing by regulation, what the Congress will not do, circumventing Congress, his wife developing a policy that has caused us to go into Libya now against congressional wishes. I would also call your attention to a health care bill that the 67% of the country did not want, that again was forced upon us congressionally that we did not want, again, abuse of power, and a president, as I said, that has violated the War Powers Act. So we're talking about second chakra, money, sex, power. We're talking about the abuse and misuse of power. And it's not just national, it's global. You can see it everywhere. I'm calling it to your attention here, and we need to look at it here because, you know, all correction begins at home. And so whether it's in your personal life or whether it has to do with the nation, if the world is out of balance, we have to start right here in our own backyard. I am not trying to be overly critical of the United States. I am trying to say that this is where we are in the moment, and what are we going to do about it? And by the way, this responsibility to protect in Libya, the basis for going in there, is it actually the precursor to the basis for going into the Palestinian territories and into Israel? Is that the next step with this responsibility to protect? Because if you've got people who are advising this president as to where we as a nation have a responsibility to protect, and they're selectively choosing where they're going in to do that, meaning Libya but not Syria or Iran, where the oppression is worse, then what if their next belief is that the Palestinian people need help? Are we now going to put troops on the ground to suppress what they describe as Israeli persecution and Israeli occupation? Again, the American people as a majority don't seem to want that kind of action, but we also seem to have people who are presently in power who are abusing it and circumventing the system. Now, is it unique to this president? Absolutely not. Am I here to say that it's all a Democratic problem and the problem is Barack Obama? Absolutely not. You know, last week I was listening to an interview with Annie Jacobson. Annie Jacobson is a Los Angeles Times journalist. She also writes independently for business and finance, and she writes on terrorism. Annie Jacobson just finished an acclaimed and thoroughly called Area 51. For those of you who don't know, Area 51 is in New Mexico, and it is near Roswell. It is near where a lot of people believe, or at least a cult following, and maybe more. There lately seems to be actually a military support and sanction for the belief that UFO, a UFO, landed or crashed in Roswell in the 1950s. Well, Area 51 is one of the test sites located in southern Nevada that has long been the home to hidden U.S. weaponry and espionage programs. This is fact. It's not fiction. It's actually where a lot of underground testing was done when the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty went into effect and there was no more above ground testing. We dug mile deep tunnels under the ground in Nevada and New Mexico in order to do underground nuclear testing, which we've done ever since the 1970s, I guess it is. So why do I bring this up? Well, because Annie Jacobson, in her well-researched and documented book, calls attention to the fact that President Truman brought Nazi scientists to the United States after World War II, gave them U.S. citizenship, and incorporated them into our scientific programs. Why? Because the Russians had captured about 260 Nazi scientists. And our fear at the time was that if they had the technology and the brains that had created the technology to support the Third Reich, and they had been doing all kinds of scientific testing and weaponry testing, if they had the brains and we did not, then they would have an unfair advantage going forward after World War II in developing weaponry and later space technology. So we brought known Nazi scientists who had worked on those ovens, who had worked on those in those camps, who had worked on those experiments on human beings, brought them to the United States, gave them citizenship, essentially gave them asylum, and actually made them part of our space program, our scientific program, rather, our scientific community, I guess, to be accurate. Probably the most egregious of that was President Kennedy, John Kennedy, who made Wernher von Braun director of NASA in the 1960s. Wernher von Braun was a decorated Nazi SS officer. I want to repeat that. President Kennedy made Wernher von Braun a decorated Nazi SS officer, head of our director of the NASA space program. Now, why do I bring it up? I started the program off about talking about second chakra, misuse of power, sex, and money. I bring it up because it doesn't really matter whether it's Tim Geithner, who was fraudulent on his federal tax returns and evaded payment of taxes otherwise due, who is then made head of the taxing authority in this country and sets policy, economic policy for the country. Why? Because as we were told, he's the only guy who can pull us out of this. It doesn't matter whether it's Tim Geithner, an ex-tax cheat, being made the head of the taxing authority, or whether it's Wernher von Braun, an ex-Nazi officer, an SS member, who we bring here because he can best head NASA. He can best help develop our scientific defensive weaponry. Oh, it doesn't matter when once you compromise who someone is because you think the benefit of what you're going to get from them outweighs what you really know about them, and so you turn a blind eye. It's a misuse of power. It's a misuse of power, and it's a justification for lowering the bar on standards, on morals, on who we are, on what we believe in, and on what we stand for. I was at a local fair over the weekend. I was at the Medford Wine and Cheese event, annual wine and cheese event on Main Street. And when I come back from break, I'm going to tell you a local story, a story of someone I spoke to at the Wine and Cheese Festival who in their own personal life gave me a wonderful example of what I just talked about, which is compromising what you believe and what you know about someone because you think the benefit you're going to get from them outweighs the harm you're compromising will do to you. Back in a moment here at An Hour of Gold.
You're listening to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold. Carol Gold is an inspirational speaker, author, change agent, and former family law attorney who helps individuals and organizations by providing guidance and encouragement during periods of professional and personal change. Her fearlessness in facing challenges head-on is contagious, inspiring, and uplifting, and she understands the importance of the principles of personal responsibility and adaptability within the larger context of our connection to one another. Engaging and empowering, Carol brings the highest message to all concerned and leaves her audiences with renewed determination to be the best they can be. As she explores the topics of ethics, mission, purpose, intuition, stress management, and relationships. Carol's recently released book, The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear, serves as a simple explanation and user-friendly guide to navigating the changes taking place around us. Her mission is to give people a renewed sense of empowerment and excitement about the possibilities that await them regardless of their present situations. Carol's goal is not that you see things her way, but rather to help you find your way. To learn more, visit her website at carolgold.com. That's C-A-R-O-L-E gold.com. To speak with Carol right now, call 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. And now let's get back to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold.
Hi, Carol Gold back here at An Hour of Gold, WNJC 1360 AM, the number 856-227-1360. Welcome back, talking about sex, power, and money. A nation locked at second chakra, which is the energy center in the human body that controls and determines the proper or improper use of power, sex, and money. I was talking about compromising what we believe in because we think someone can provide a benefit for us, and I was particularly talking about Wernher von Braun before the break, who President John Kennedy made director of the space program when he was an ex-Nazi SS officer and decorated Nazi war hero to the German people, and also talking about instances where we do that, where we compromise what we know about someone, Tim Geithner, head of the Treasury, ex-tax cheat himself, and really the harm we do to ourselves when we delude ourselves into thinking, and by the way, it's called denial, when we deny that the benefit we get will not be as great as the harm we will do when we compromise our values. So over the weekend, I was at the Medford Wine and Cheese annual event on Main Street and got to talking with a couple. The husband is with the SEC, a very successful, very articulate, very bright, and a seemingly very ethical and moral man. And we were having this very discussion about compromising values. And in the middle of this discussion, he said to me, "You know what? You're absolutely right," he said, "because in my office, we have a guy who has always been having affairs on his wife. He's always cheating, and we all look the other way because he's a good trader. He makes a lot of money. And so we look the other way on what we really know about him." And I thought it was a great personal example of how we all run into this every day in our own lives, not necessarily someone cheating. I'm not talking about that, someone being unfaithful to their spouse. I'm talking about the opportunity to either stand or fold around what we believe in, to either speak up and take a stand or to turn a blind eye, either because we don't want to make waves or we don't want to have conflict or we want the benefit, and so we look the other way. And this is how we got to where we are, folks. We got to where we are by looking the other way. These people in Congress that we all complain about around the dinner table and say what crooks they are, guess who elected them? You elected them. I elected them. Why? Because we tolerated candidates that should have been eliminated before they ever got to the ballot box. We allowed them to rise to a level of power and control, which only turned into a level of misuse of power and control, because we knew who they were going in many instances. You know, to me, the prime example is only in America could you elect a man to president whose nickname was Tricky Dick before he was elected. I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't our history, it would be funny, but it's led to the slippery slope of where we are today. Okay, you did not know who Barack Obama was, neither did I. He was a bumper sticker called Hope and Change. That's about all you knew about him. And I defy very many people to dial 856-227-1360 right now and tell me that you had a thorough understanding of who this man was before you voted for him. You got caught up in a wave and you looked the other way. And the few media outlets that tried to do an in-depth story on who he was or what he believed in or what his ideology was or what his background was, they were drowned out by the drums and the banners and the bumper stickers. So I don't blame Barack Obama. I blame you and me. Although I didn't vote for him, I just have to say, but don't assume that you know then what party I'm affiliated with, but I do want to say I didn't vote for him. And I didn't vote for him because I didn't know who he was and I couldn't find anything he'd really done that told me who he was. And I don't think president is on the job training. There are some jobs that maybe ought to be. I don't think that's one of them. So I digress for a moment. Okay, so let's get back to the misuse of power, sex, and money. I'll get to sex last because it's the most interesting and it'll hold you the longest if I leave it for the end. Talking about the misuse of power in governance. Healthcare reform I mentioned earlier. We didn't want it. 67%, 62%, somewhere between 60 and 70% of the public did not want that particular healthcare bill passed. It was rammed down our throats even though we did not want it. Okay? The GAO, the General Accounting Office, which does independent analysis of government programs and their effectiveness, the GAO has said that TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, that we had to have the money and it had to be done now, and there was TARP 1 and there was TARP 2, and now these fools are actually sometimes raising the specter of a TARP 3. All that money that went to the banks, all that money that went to bailouts, the GAO has concluded that while that TARP program provided critical support for the financial markets at the time it was implemented, it has basically nonetheless failed to be effective in meeting any of its other statutory goals, such as supporting home values, retirement savings, and stimulating economic growth. But we had to have it. And like the healthcare bill, they had to pass it so we would understand it, because everything has to be done in a hurry. Why? Misuse of power. Misuse and abuse of power. It doesn't matter what the people want. Give them what we know they need, okay? If I understand that concept. I'm a parent, but I'm dealing with a minor, okay? We're not minors, and the government is not our parent. And so I don't like being told that this is what I need, whether I like it or not, and this is what I need, whether I understand it or not, and by the way, I better hurry up and accept it because it's happening anyway. I don't believe that's the United States of America that was founded, or the United States of America that I want to live in, or the United States of America that you want to live in. Okay. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking it's time to get to the sex. Because it is, you know, it's just the most salacious part. And this is what happens. So, Anthony Weiner. Okay. I haven't listened to a lot of other talk shows. I don't know what's out there. I'm not quite sure what they're saying, although I can assume from common sense what a lot of them are saying. I hope I give you a somewhat different perspective here. We've heard a lot lately about the misuse of sex and the abuse of sex by men against women. John Edwards, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and Anthony Weiner. I would also tell you, before I talk a little more about Anthony Weiner, that in every one of those instances, there's a woman who looked the other way in every one of those instances. Rhianne Eisler, I think her name is, John Edwards' mistress. Rhianne Eisler wrote a book called, I'll think of it in a minute. She's a wonderful anthropologist and historian, a book worth reading. I hope I remember the title before the show is over. But anyway, Rhianne Hunter, John Edwards. Rhianne Hunter knew he was married. Rhianne Hunter knew he was a public figure. And if my facts serve me correctly, she also lied that she was on a birth control pill when she was not. So we have a woman who looked the other way. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Shriver is a very smart woman. I had a lot of respect for her. I guess I still do. I always thought she should have been the Kennedy to run for president. But she married an egotistical, bodybuilding, movie star who needed more to feed his ego and had to be governor and actually wanted to be president, thank God, but for his citizenship and his origin of birth couldn't even go down that road. I have to believe that Maria Shriver, who knew his behavior before she got married to him and heard the rumors of his behavior while she was married to him, had to turn a blind eye to something going on under her own roof for 10 years. I'm not saying she flat out knew. I'm saying we women have pretty good instincts. And I like to say that when I practiced law and I practiced divorce law, I never had a client whose husband had an affair who did not know he was having the affair. She didn't admit it to herself always, but by the time the divorce was over, even if she denied knowing he was having the affair in the beginning of the divorce, she inevitably said to me in the end, you know, I kind of knew, but I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to go down that road. Whatever, okay? Maria Shriver, I happen to really believe, had to have known and looked the other way, or at least had to have had enough discomfort that she chose not to deal with it. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the man who attacked the maid and attempted to and forced her into having oral sex with him in the New York hotel, former head of the IMF, International Monetary Fund. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, married to a woman in France for, I don't know, decades, had to turn a blind eye. His wife, his nickname in France was the Seducer. His wife had to have looked the other way. New York Congressman Anthony Weiner. He admits that he did this behavior before he married. He admits that he discussed this behavior with his wife when he married her. I can't believe that a woman who's intelligent enough to be the special assistant to Hillary Clinton, who we know is the smartest woman on the planet, right? Okay, tongue in cheek. I can't believe that the woman who would be the special assistant to the smartest woman on the planet would not have an inkling and not know her husband's sexual proclivities. And the reason I say that is because yesterday she made the statement, she went back to work because this is a personal matter. It has nothing to do with their careers. Well, nothing could be more ridiculous, because when you elect a public figure or when you have a special assistant to the Secretary of State who doesn't think that lying, forget sexual addiction, forget sexual perversion, forget the bad use of free will in terms of reining in his nature, which is his nature is to procreate, only he thinks he, you know, needs to pursue that nature with every tweet and every Facebook person that he encounters. Forget that. How about that he just lied to his staff, to his constituents, to the nation? And make no mistake, Anthony Weiner went on television yesterday only because Andrew Breitbart of big government and big Hollywood websites had one more photo that was going to be the nail in the coffin. And it was Anthony Weiner unrobed. And so it was the moment when he knew he could no longer hide behind the lie. That's not a personal matter when you're a public figure representing the public who place in you trust and believe in your integrity. If you can lie looking into the camera repeatedly over and over again, believing that doing so will get you a free pass. Your biggest problem is not the fact that you like to tweet sex. Your biggest problem is that you don't have any integrity and you probably lack a conscience. And those are not qualities that are anybody wants in a ballot box. And so hopefully Anthony Weiner will, if not of his own accord, then through the collective wisdom of the members of his party, will be under enough pressure that he will step down and allow the possibility that someone out there with integrity who knows how to act like a grown man instead of a frustrated adolescent will rise to the level of congressman from the state of New York. I'll be right back after this message. You're listening to WNJC. I'm Carol Gold, and this is An Hour of Gold at WNJC 1360 AM.
Stefano's Ristorante Italiano of Mount Laurel, New Jersey, serves the finest authentic Sicilian cuisine with exciting dishes and a unique ambiance. At Stefano's, every dish is created using only the freshest, finest ingredients. Their delicious menu options and attention to detail create a truly enjoyable dining experience. For more than 20 years, chef and owner Paola Balsamo has presented her authentic family recipes to South Jersey. Stefano's features traditional Italian favorites and unique dishes wrapped in a cozy ambiance. They cater to special requests and offer a celiac specialty menu featuring gluten-free foods that are so delicious, you'll never believe they're gluten-free. They also have a large variety of delicious pizza. Please feel free to bring a bottle of wine to enjoy with your meal. And if you're hosting a party, Stefano's offers on-site and off-site catering options. Their catering menu offers many options to please any taste, and their impeccable service ensures your event will be one to remember. They cater corporate functions, as well as birthdays, graduations, anniversaries, and many other special occasions. Stefano's Ristorante Italiano at 3815 Church Road in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Open at 11 a.m. Monday through Saturday, closed Sunday. Call 856-3663. That's 856-778-3663. And visit their website, stefanosristoranteitaliano.com, and mention An Hour of Gold to receive a 10% discount. You're listening to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold. To speak with Carol right now, call 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. And now let's get back to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold.
Hi, I'm back at 856-227-1360. I'm going to have to breeze through this last segment of the show because I knew I couldn't cover it all in an hour, but I don't want to keep you in suspense either till next week on this topic. So let me just go through two other points about sexual power and the misuse of sexual power and a little bit about misuse of money, and then let me wrap up with what we do about it all. This male-female, male abuse of power is not just as between men and women. There's male-on-male sexual harassment that's happening as well. We know it's happened for a very long time in the Catholic Church. It's what went on between priests and choir boys and young men in the church. And just yesterday, a suit was filed in New York by a Sergeant Nelson Fernandez, who's a 9-year veteran of the NYPD. He filed a harassment claim against his superior because he has been sexually harassed by a male superior in his role and has to go through this every day at work, where he is constantly approached and touched and comments are made to him. And he finally decided that and it's become like a joke in the precinct, but he can't deal with it anymore. And he's finally decided to bring it out and to file this lawsuit and take the consequences and whatever may come of it. His attorney said he's very proud of this officer for being willing to step up. And so I just want to make the point that, A, it's not always men against women perpetuating this kind of adolescent behavior and in some cases psychologically twisted behavior. It's also men against men, and it's also women turning a blind eye, women who cooperate. You know, 100 tweets back and forth with Anthony Weiner, somebody was on the other end of those tweets. He may have initiated or he may have conned them or whatever he did, solicited them. You know, once you have more than one tweet back, once you're into 10, 15, 20, 30, you're part of the problem. And women who cooperate with men in this kind of behavior are as culpable and as responsible for the level of society that we have sunk to as are the men who have reached out to them in those efforts as well. And that's another show, by the way. That's really another show, and I probably will pursue that next week. Okay, real quick, money. We have a food pyramid in this country for how many decades that told us what the food should be, you know, how many vegetables, how much meat, looked like a little triangle, had pretty little colors, fun to look at in your school, on the bulletin board, on the chart in your room, teacher, you know, rolled it out and there it was, and you knew how you had to have three fruits every meal, whatever. Not good enough. In a nation that is bankrupt, ours, Michelle Obama rolled out the nutritional plate. The pyramid was no longer sufficient, okay? Sounded like a good idea, right? Do you know it cost $2 million to roll it out? $2 million to go from a triangle to a circle in a country that's broke. Misuse of money, misuse of power. TARP, I mentioned it moments ago, the asset relief program. An awful lot of money thrown out, and according to the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, not worth it. Didn't affect the things they said it was going to affect. Unemployment's at 9.1. Housing market's in the dumper. You know, Wall Street's headed for God knows what. Probably the bond market will be next. They didn't do very much of anything except forestall the inevitable and make the inevitable crash larger. Okay? That's what they did. CNBC did a survey over the weekend. Their website, Consumer Nation. 61% of the people in this country say they don't expect to return to their respective pre-recession lifestyles until at least spring of 2014. And 10% of those surveyed said they don't believe their lifestyle will ever return to pre-recession ability or spending. So, if this is where we're at, what's the solution? Because that's what an hour of gold is about. It's about solutions. Well, I will tell you that, like it or not, it starts with you and me. That's where the solution begins. Thinking for ourselves and acting consistently with what we believe is right and having the courage to stand and speak to it. Everyone has a voice. It has no value until you use it. Your silence is your voice. When you refuse to speak, when you refuse to stand, you might as well be speaking because you're making a statement in your silence, and your statement is that the status quo is acceptable to you and that where we are is okay. And all of us know that where we are is not okay. I know you can't impose honesty, and I know you can't legislate morality, but you can make it an aberration. You can make it a shame to lie, to cheat, to steal, to be perverse in your behavior. Japan does it. Japan lives under the code of the samurai. And the code of the samurai that goes back hundreds of years is that shame goes forward in time and back in time. And that when you do something that is embarrassing to you or your family, you not only embarrass yourself in the moment, you embarrass all of your ancestors who have ever lived and all of your progeny who will ever come after you, which is why in Japan, honor is such a big deal. It goes back to the code of the samurai, and it is a cultural institution. Public behavior and even private behavior that could be deemed as shameful is culturally abhorred in Japan. We could learn a lot. We have a very slippery slope. We're living in a nation where when the F word is said at the MTV Awards on Sunday night and your kids are watching and it isn't even bleeped, okay? We've gotten to the point where it isn't even bleeped. And everybody's laughing, and all the stars that your kids love are on the stage or in the audience, and Reese Witherspoon is laughing, okay? And the word was used in context to her by Paltz, I think his name is. Richard, what's his name, Debbie?
I was going to say Robert Pattinson,
right, thank you. R. Pats, that's what they call him, R. Pats. Robert Pattinson. It was used in giving an award. What does that say to our kids? What does John Edwards say to our kids? What does Anthony Weiner say to our kids? What did Bill Clinton say to our kids? I remember driving in the car with a kid, with a daughter, and I had to keep turning off the news every 15 minutes because oral sex was the topic of the news when I had my fifth grader in the car. I mean, what have we allowed it to come to? And when you have enough, what's your obligation to do something about it? No one is going to rescue us from this one. We're not victims. We're totally empowered, divinely created, and supported children of God who have the power to change the world, even though you've been raised to think you haven't. Even though every institution around you tells you every day that you need it to survive. You do not. You need your own inner wisdom, your own instincts, and your own internal fortitude to stand for what you believe in and to say no. You know, I'm going to give you, let me try to do this real fast. Anthony Weiner said he's sorry and he accepts total responsibility. Where's the consequence, folks? My daughter, I bought her a car this year. She's 18 years old. And I said to her, here's the condition. As long as your grades remain A's and B's, you get to keep the car. When the grades aren't A's and B's, the car goes away for a while. Well, my daughter has had all A's all year, and then she got an F in math. And I said, where'd the F come from? And she said, oh, I just didn't study for that test. I said, really? You didn't study for the test? Give me the keys to the car. And my daughter has not had her car for over a month. And when she said recently, you know, it's been a month, I said, that wasn't the deal. The deal wasn't if you get a grade below a B, I'll take the car for a short period of time. The deal was if you get a grade below a B until the B is back, you don't get the car. The consequence has to go with the act, and it has to be negotiated in advance, okay? Anthony Weiner violated the public trust. Whether or not he violated a law and is prosecutable, he violated confidence and he is dispensable. He needs to leave office. He needs to walk away or he needs to be forced away. But either way, your voice matters. Believe that you can make a difference. Believe that it's within your personal power to change the world, one of us at a time, one decision at a time, one moment at a time. And as long as you believe that and act in accordance with that and refuse to be taken off your game, then I can be certain that my optimism about the future of this nation and this world is well-founded. I believe in me. I believe in you. There's only one of us. That is my message. That is my mission. I will see you here next week at an Hour of Gold, WNJC 1360 AM. I'm Carol Gold. Have a wonderful week. And remember to speak for what you believe in.